thank his love. I love to tell the story, 'tis pleasant to repeat what seems each time I tell it more wonderfully sweet. I love to tell of salvation from God's own holy word. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and to hear it like the rest. And when it sings of glory, I sing the new song. 'Twill be the old story that I have loved so long. To tell the story, 'twill be my theme in glory, to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. To tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love.
Amen.
The old rugged cross.
So I'll cherish the old rugged
Precious Lord, please take our hands this morning. Amen. He is good, and he's here in this place.
Amen.
Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, help me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. When my way grows drear, precious Lord, linger near. When my life is almost gone, hear my cry. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. When the darkness appears and the night draws near and the day is past and gone, at the river hold my hand, take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, help me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home.
Amen.
I like a new drummer.
Amen. Good morning, saints. And thank God for the praise team this morning, and thank God for JJ. Appreciate that. May the Lord continue to bless him and use that talent that he has. Amen. So welcome once again to Family Worship Center. Welcome to the new visitors this morning. My name is Pastor Pedro Carcamo. I'm the Spanish pastor here at Family Worship Center, and I'll be bringing the message this morning. Amen. God is really good, and he's doing great things. Amen. We've heard of awesome things that God has been doing lately, tremendous things, in a tremendous way that the Lord is moving. And we should be expecting that as Christians, as believers, that God is constantly on the move. Amen. He's not a static God. He is alive. Amen. And we have proof of that in his word. Don't take my word for it. You know, it's in his word. And this morning, we're gonna go to Joshua chapter 4. We will continue with that series in the book of Joshua. Tremendous, awesome book. Just like the rest of the Bible, of course. But God has a great message for each one of us this morning. As you recall, a couple of weeks ago, the Lord spoke to us about how he had delivered Israel out of Egypt, and then they found themselves in a crucial situation in which they had to cross the river, the Jordan River, in order to get to the promised land, and God was with them along the way, amen. And if you recall, the Lord opened up the river, and they were able to cross. They were able to get to the other side. That was in chapter 3. And of course, back in chapter 1, when the Lord called Joshua and he ordered him to be courageous, to be a man of valor, not to be fearless, because he was going to be with him, just like he is with us this morning. Amen. So this morning, let's go to chapter 4. We are going to read about what happens immediately after they cross the river. And actually, while they were crossing the river, trying to get to the other side, you know, you and I are trying to get to the place that the Lord has called us to be in, amen, the promised land. We're trying to get to heaven, to the heavenly kingdom. We are anticipating something much, much better than what you and I see here on a daily basis. And even though we're blessed, amen, we're blessed in this great nation of ours, amen, many folks around the world, especially Christians, are not in the same situation that you and I are at this very moment. They're being persecuted. They're facing illnesses. They live in oppressive governments, and they just don't have the economic means or financial means to get ahead in life. So we're blessed to be here in our nation, amen, and we just need to continue to pray for our brothers and sisters in other places around the world, because they do have the same hope that we have this morning. They're trying to get to the other side, to where the Lord is, amen, the promised land. But this morning, we're going to chapter 4, Joshua, and see what's going on here with Israel. It says, chapter 4, reading from the New Living Translation. But first of all, let's go to Matthew, right quick. Don't lose that chapter 4 in Joshua. Let's see what Matthew 16, 13 through 17 has to say. Matthew 16, 13 through 17. Thank you, Eddie. And it says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? Well, they reply, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others say Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. Then he asked them, but who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus replied, you are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. Now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock. And upon this rock, I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. Now let's go to Joshua 4. Remember, Jesus declares that Peter means rock, and that on Jesus himself being the rock, he would build his church, us as a congregation, and the church universal around the world. But Joshua chapter 4 has something additional to say. And it says, when all the people had crossed the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, now choose 12 men, one from each tribe. Tell them, take 12 stones from the very place where the priests are standing in the middle of the Jordan. Carry them out and pile them up at the place where you will camp tonight. So Joshua called together the 12 men he had chosen, one from each of the tribes of Israel. He told them, go in the middle of the Jordan in front of the ark of the Lord, your God. Each of you must pick up one stone and carry it out on your shoulder. 12 stones in all, one for each of the 12 tribes of Israel. We will use these stones to build a memorial. In the future, your children will ask you, what do these stones mean? Then you can tell them, they remind us that the Jordan River stopped flowing when the Ark of the Lord's Covenant went across. These stones will stand as a memorial among the people of Israel forever. So the men did as Joshua had commanded them. They took 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan River, one for each tribe, just as the Lord had told Joshua. They carried them to the place where they camped for the night and constructed the memorial there. Joshua also set up another pile of stones, of 12 stones, in the middle of the Jordan, at the place where the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant were standing, and they are there to this day. The priests who were carrying the Ark stood in the middle of the river until all of the Lord's commands that Moses had given to Joshua were carried out. Meanwhile, the people hurried across the riverbed, and when everyone was safely on the other side, the priests crossed over with the Ark of the Lord as the people watched. The armed warriors from the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh led the Israelites across the Jordan, just as Moses had directed. These armed men, about 40,000 strong, were ready for battle, and the Lord was with them as they crossed over to the plains of Jericho. That's going to get interested in the weeks ahead, amen, if the Lord gives us the time when they get to Jericho. That day the Lord made Joshua a great leader in the eyes of all the Israelites, and for the rest of his life they revered him as much as they had revered Moses. The Lord had said to Joshua, "Command the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant to come up out of the riverbed." So Joshua gave the command. As soon as the priests carrying the Ark of the Lord's Covenant came up out of the riverbed and their feet were on high ground, the water of the Jordan returned and overflowed its banks as before. The people crossed the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month. Then they camped at Gilgal, just east of Jericho. It was there at Gilgal that Joshua piled up the 12 stones taken from the Jordan River. Then Joshua said to the Israelites, "In the future, your children will ask, 'What do these stones mean?' Then you can tell them, 'This is where the Israelites crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the river right before your eyes, and he kept it dry until you were all across, just as he did at the Red Sea when he dried it up until we had all crossed over. He did this so all the nations of the earth might know that the Lord's hand is powerful, and so you might fear the Lord your God forever.'" Let's pray. Father God, I just thank you once again for this wonderful, awesome opportunity to be your messenger, Father. And we pray, Father, that in the name of Jesus, you would speak to us today, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. So this is exciting, what's going on at that very moment. They're crossing the river. Most of the Israelites had crossed the river and are on the other side. Their feet are standing now on the promised land because of the miracle that God had performed. Church, remember back in chapter 3, the Lord had told the Levites and all the priests to go ahead and lead the Israelites as they were crossing the river. And the Bible says that the river stopped and it just formed a huge wall. You know, I can just imagine that, you know, or try to at least, you know, because it was such a wonderful miracle. And then they were able to cross the river. But as soon as they crossed the river, church, God speaks again. He speaks to Joshua once again. You see, that's the great thing about the God you and I serve. He is constantly speaking, and he was speaking to Israel in a continuous way. He was speaking to his people in every step of the way, continuously giving them instructions. And the instructions are very specific. They're very detailed. You know what the Lord is telling you this morning, church, when he's saying to us this morning that he is a living God and that he can speak to us in every situation that we find ourselves in. And in fact, he wants to speak to us in every situation that we find ourselves in. It doesn't matter how old we are, whether we're young or young at heart. It doesn't matter what race we are. It doesn't matter what language or dialect or what nation we come from or what ethnicity. As long as we are trusting Jesus, as long as we're standing in Jesus, in Christ, then He is willing to speak to us, and He can speak to us. And you know what, church? He will give us instructions. He will give us specific instructions. You know, He will do that through His Word, of course, mainly through His Word. And, you know, we cannot put God in a box, you know, because sometimes God could speak audibly. I don't know. I've heard testimonies of people who've heard the voice of God, and it's so hard to describe according to those testimonies. But mainly, church, mainly, He will speak to us through His Word. The Bible says in Psalms 119, 105, the writer says, "Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path." So this precious word that you and I have, church, can guide us in every step of the way, in every situation we find ourselves in. We can find answers in this book that we have. No wonder, church, you know, if this was just another book, and I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, if it was just another book, why so many governments and leaders in the past have tried to get rid of this book, and they burned it, I mean, in piles, and they have imprisoned believers just for the fact of carrying a Bible. I know of countries in the Middle East, and I've heard testimonies from friends that if people get caught with a Bible in their hands will be chopped off, you know, just like that, graphically. But, you know, this is a powerful book that you and I have because it is the Word of the Lord. So He is willing to speak to us just like He's speaking to us this morning. You know, in fact, Joshua in this passage represents the believer that knows God, the believer that has a relationship with God, the believer that constantly hears from God and hears His voice and hears instructions from the Lord. You know, that's the great thing about Christianity, church, about having a relationship with the Lord. This is not static. You know, this is not a one-way relationship. This is, you know, a relationship with our Creator in which He speaks and we can speak back with Him. We communicate with each other through prayer, of course. And when we come to church and we sing and we praise Him, amen, and we feel His presence, or if we don't feel it, we know He's here in this place by faith. So Joshua, in this context, in this passage, reminds us of the believer who knows Him, who hears from Him, and who is able to point others to Jesus Christ Himself, our hope. Now, it says here, church, that Joshua comes and speaks to Israel because he receives a message from God. He receives instructions from the Lord as what to do next. Amen. He's not on his own. He's not alone. God is with him. The promise of the Lord that He would be with him at every single moment, it's becoming that reality at this very moment in this passage. And then when he hears the message from God, he brings that message to the people. He shares the message of the Lord to his people, giving them God's instructions. You know what that tells us this morning, church? That a godly leader hears God's voice. Amen? A godly leader, a leader who walks after God and whose heart is after the Lord's, will continuously hear the voice of God through His Word. And a godly leader will bring the message of the Lord to his people. And that is the uncompromised message from God. You know, it's becoming really, really unpopular these days to tell evil, you know, evil, to call evil, evil, and to call good, good. Because we're living in days, church, in which things are pretty much upside down in our society, in which they're calling good evil and they're calling evil good. And we as Christians are becoming so unpopular these days. But it's not a matter of being popular or not, church, in this world. You know, I mean, it's fine if they like us. It's fine if they accept us. But it's even better if the Lord Jesus Christ knows who we are and where we stand. So a godly leader, church, remember, will always bring an uncompromised, pure message from the Lord. Nothing watered down. No. It says that in Acts 27, church, in Acts 27, where Paul was preaching, it says, "For I didn't shrink from declaring all that God wants you to know." The NIV reads the following way, "For I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God." And you know what? A lot of times, the whole will of God will offend people. It will make many uncomfortable, church. Don't worry, you know, we don't have to offend anybody personally. We don't have to do that because the Word of God will do it on its own. But you know what? Also, church, the truth will set people free because they will know the truth and they will become free. So we must proclaim the whole will of God, remembering about a godly leader like Joshua. You know, church, that also brings to mind the fact that you and I must continue to keep praying that God will send us a pastor who will proclaim God's holy message from this very pulpit. Amen. We must continue to do that. A pastor who brings the uncompromised word of the Lord. And so, continuing with the story, it says here that Joshua received instructions from God, detailed instructions. And those instructions imply that each tribe would take a stone. In fact, he would choose a man from every of the tribes, and they would come and pick up a stone and take it out of the riverbed and onto the other side of the river so they could build a memorial at their campsite. Talking about stones, these were not pebbles, by the way. Many scholars think that these were boulders, huge rocks. In order to be able to build a memorial of 12 stones in total, something that could be seen from far away, something that could withstand the test of time, something that future generations could look at and ask and wonder, what is the purpose of that memorial? What was the purpose or reason that God had asked our forefathers to go through all of that trouble, bring rocks out of a river, huge stones, and then set them up on a pile? There was a purpose for that. But before they knew what the purpose was, Israel followed God's instructions, church. They didn't question it. They followed his instructions. They did not challenge Joshua. They were not lazy, church. They went ahead and carried out the task. And Israel and Joshua obeyed God. You know, that tells us, church, that it is better to obey God. There's a blessing when you and I obey the Lord. There is a blessing, church, when we come to church on a Sunday like this, because you and I are already being obedient to the word. Many these days are saying and proclaiming that it's no longer necessary to go to church because we have Facebook available and we have live streaming and I can watch it from the comfort of my own home. And it's okay with that. You know, I'm fine with that. You know, I'm okay with technology. Thank God for technology, because, you know, because of technology, the word has been able to go into places where I'm not able to go. I would not be able to go physically because of the distance, or because I would not be welcome in those places. But through Facebook and live stream, it's been possible. But that's not the only way. It is not the only way. God never meant it like that since the beginning, church. So we're being obedient this morning by being in church this morning. Amen. And praising God. There is a blessing when you and I obey the Lord. On one occasion, King Saul disobeyed the Lord. And because of that, he lost his kingdom. And when the prophet Samuel confronted him, he told him the following in 1 Samuel 15:22. But Samuel replied, "Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams." So there's a blessing in the obedience to God. Let's continue obeying his word, especially during this time in which we are living. Last days, I want to say, you know, Jesus is coming back. We were just singing about that. Our sister was singing that there's going to come a time in which the heavens are probably going to open like a straw, and then the Lord shall descend. Amen. So we're expecting that. We're anticipating that. So while that happens, we continue to obey him. We continue to work. We continue to do what you and I do on a daily basis. But we also continue to be a light in this world. Amen. Praise the Lord. So they did that. They obeyed the Lord. They did exactly as God had commanded them to do. They took stones and they piled them up on the other side of the river. Joshua did the same thing, interestingly, in the middle of the river, on the riverbed, while it was still dry. He built up another memorial there so that people could see it as well. But what was the purpose for that, church? It tells us in verses 6 and 7. It says, "We will use these stones to build a memorial. In the future, your children will ask you, 'What do these stones mean?' And you can tell them they remind us that the Jordan River stopped flowing when the Ark of the Lord's Covenant went across." It would serve as a reminder to them, church, of what the Lord had done. Not Pharaoh, no, not Satan, no, not an angel, not Gabriel, not Michael, no, not Moses. It was God himself who had done that miracle. It was a reminder to Israel and their future generations that God had moved powerfully and he had dried up the river. It was proof, church, of a miracle had taken place right there at the Jordan River. It was a reminder for them that God is real and that God hears prayers. Remember, they were wandering in the desert and many of them died because of their disobedience and rebelliousness, church. But then the future generations that came began to fear the Lord and began to obey. Joshua being one of them, Caleb being another one, and so many others that came after them. And they prayed to the Lord, "God, please take us to the promised land." And this would serve as a reminder, church, that God had heard their prayers and that he had done a miracle and that God delivered them. Church, you know what? Sometimes we need a reminder that God is real. Amen. We need to remind ourselves constantly that God is an awesome God and that he is real. He is not dead. You know when that happens? When you wake up in the morning. When you see your family and children in the morning, when you come home from work or school to your family and to your parents, and you see them, you get to hug them, hey, that's proof that God is real. When I come to church on a Sunday morning like this, you know, I say, God is real. This is a reminder that the Lord is still at work and that he is still real. I can't see him. I don't need to see him. I just need to believe him. That's all it takes, church, faith, belief. Just belief in the word, belief in his word. You know, he is real, and we need a reminder of that. Or you know what? When God has done something tremendously in our lives, and he has answered prayer. I was thinking about Eddie's praise report about that test coming back negative. Hey, God is real, lady. Amen. That reminds me so much that the Lord is real. Or when I see that little boy right there, you know, and I see how God brought him back to life. Amen. Ain't that right? God brought that little boy back to life. Amen. If y'all don't know that, that little boy drowned. And the Lord brought him back to life. Because these sisters right there, my sisters right there, pray for him at that very moment. And they heard a voice of God. Hey, something wrong over there. Go see what's going on. Ain't that right, sister? Go see what's going on over there. And you go there and you see, whoa, God is real. He spoke to me and he said there was something wrong at this very moment. God brought him back to life. We need reminders of that, church. We need to remind ourselves of that, that the Lord is real, that he's still at work, that he listens to prayers. Don't give up on your prayers, please. Don't give up on our prayers for a leader, amen? God still has a purpose for this place here, for our congregation. God has a purpose for those young people meeting over there in that other building, church. And he's doing wonders, by the way. I'm going to tell you a testimony in a bit if I get the time, amen, to share that. It's awesome when I think about the way the Lord moves and he still delivers, church. We've been delivered from sin. We've been delivered from the hands of Satan, from the hands of this world. The Bible says that at one time you and I were dead in our sins and trespasses. We had no hope. But then the light of Jesus shined on us, church, and we were given hope. And now we are alive in Jesus. It doesn't matter, church, if we lose our lives. But if that happens, then we go home with Jesus, amen. So he still delivers. And that is a reminder that the Lord is alive and well. He also told them, church, that the nations would know that God's hand is powerful. His hand is all powerful. Talking about miracles, amen. Talking about the way God moves. Talking about the way the Lord answers prayers. He is powerful. And that Israel should fear God forever. Israel should constantly fear the Lord forever. So church, let's continue believing God. Let's continue having that reminder. And let's remind our loved ones as well that God is still at work. Let's remind our kids that the Lord's still at work. They're not teaching them that in schools. You know, it's a whole mess what's going on in our school system. I hate to say it like this, church. It wasn't like that back in the day when I was growing up, you know. You could still take a Bible to school, and you could have prayer meetings in school, and none of that stuff that's going on these days. But we need to continue teaching our children and reminding them of the power of God and the mercy and the grace of God as well. Now it says here, church, going back to the stones that they had to carry. They had to carry these huge stones, these rocks basically, in verse 5 and 8. Each person had to pick up a stone and carry it on his shoulder. Remember, no cranes, nothing like that. On their shoulders. And then take it to the other side of the river. Evidently, and obviously, these stones were heavy. These stones weighed a lot, very heavy. And so it was a burden for them to carry, their burden to carry over to the other side of the river. And it reminded them, church, the fact that they had to take those stones out of the river, it reminded them of the burden that they had. Each of them had a burden. And the stones also reminds us of the same thing as well. Church, you and I have a stone to carry. You and I have a burden to carry this morning. You and I have burdens that we have to carry constantly. Jesus told his disciples in another sense, in another way, in Matthew 16:24, he said to his disciples, if any of you wants to be my follower, any of you wants to follow me, then you need to do the following. You must give up your own way. Take up your cross and follow me. Take up your burdens and follow me. You know what the burden might be in our lives? Could be the prayer for a child that needs salvation. And you have that burden in your life. You have that burden on you to see a loved one get saved. My wife and I and Her whole family had the burden to see her dad get saved for many years. And I think I shared this testimony about Mr. Solorzano, how for many years we shared the gospel with him. At first, I didn't because I was so afraid of him, you know. I was so scared of him, really. And I didn't want to mention Jesus around him when I first met him. And so, but then the Lord gave me the courage to begin to share Jesus with him and confront him in a loving way and tell him, Dad, you need to get saved. You need Jesus in your life. Jesus can change you. Jesus can transform things. And church, recently, not even about a month ago, he was sitting over there when our brothers, musician speakers, came about a month ago, and he got saved at this very place. He came to the front, and he received Jesus in his heart. You could see the change in his face. You could see how the Lord was dealing with him. So, you know, that is a burden, and we can all have different burdens in this place. Like we were saying, it could be a prayer for a spouse, a loved one. Could be healing for someone that you know or in your life, perhaps. Could be a blessing that you're praying for. It's okay. We can pray for blessings, amen? We can pray that God blesses our kids as they go back to school. We can ask the Lord to bless them in the new school year and that he will protect them, amen? Because it's getting crazy, church. It is getting out of hand. But the Lord is with them. The Lord is with us. And that can be a burden for us. But you know what? It is not a heavy burden, church. These stones were heavy, but they were not so heavy once they picked them up. Ain't that something, church? Isn't that wonderful how God works? I mean, I can't see myself picking up a stone. It's huge. But it was not a heavy burden to them. Jesus had something to say about the matter, church, in Matthew 11, 28 through 30, when he said, come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens. Heavy stuff. Sin can be a burden, and it is a burden. It's burdensome. Sin can be a hassle. Sin, church, is deadly in many of us, if not all of us, who at one time did not have Jesus in our lives. We're dealing with the consequences of sin, the terrible effects of sin, church. What a burden that was. But you know, Jesus said, those who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. It's nothing. It's light. The burden for ministry, the burden to see a pastor here preaching the gospel of Christ, amen. The burden to see leadership come up in this church, the burden to see young people come to Jesus, the burden to see families restore and renew, church. The burden to see our community change of Indian Town, church. The burden to see the Holy Spirit move in a brand new, refreshing way in this place, in our nation, church. That is a burden. And that is not a heavy burden, by the way, y'all. It is a light burden, like Jesus said it is. It's a light burden that it is easy to carry. Sometimes the devil might come to you and say, hey, you know what? Give it up. Give it up. Give it up. Jesus is not real. God is not listening to you. It is not worth it having to go through the hassle of coming to church. People mock you. People make fun of you at school. But it is all lies, let me tell you, because the Bible says that Satan is the father of all lies. Amen. And he's been a murderer since the very, very beginning. But the burden that Jesus puts on your heart is light, church. It gives you freedom. It gives you liberty to move. You know, this is a burden that I feel this morning to come here and be able to share the gospel. I tremble as I come up to the pulpit, and I know Minister Lorenzo understands what I go through. But once I stand behind the pulpit, church, I feel like I'm flying on a cloud, because that's how God is. That's how we are reminded also that we're called to serve. Yes, we are called to serve. The fact that they were carrying those stones and nobody else, it was a reminder to them, to the Israelites, that they were called to serve each other, just like you and I have been called to serve each other. According to Galatians 5:13, it says, instead, use your freedom to serve one another and love one another. We need a minister who can do that in this place. Amen? We need a minister who will continue to do what Pastor Bruce was doing before, and even in greater, amen, in greater ways. Praise the Lord. But also, church, it says here that they were carrying those stones to the other side, amen. They were carrying those stones in a visible manner. There was no way they could hide from people. There was no way they could do it in a hidden way. They had to take up those stones and carry it themselves. And people were watching them. All of Israel was watching as each of those 12 men pick up those stones, pick up their burdens, and began to cross the rest of that riverbed, because it was dried up. And they went on to the other side. And they began to build that pile, that memorial. You know, that stone that they were carrying, church, reminds us of Jesus himself. That stone, remember, it was not a little pebble. It was a stone. And the Bible says in Psalms 118:22 that the writer prophesies Jesus as the living stone when he writes, the stone that the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. And Peter goes on to say in 1 Peter 2:4, speaking of this stone which the builders rejected at first, you are coming to Christ, who is the living cornerstone. Another version reads, who is the living stone of God's temple. He was rejected by people, but he was chosen by God for great honor. You and I, as we pick up those stones, the burden that Jesus lays upon us, you and I, as we pick up those stones, reminds us of the fact that Jesus lives in us. And just like those Israelites who were carrying the stones and were visible to all, everybody could see them, Jesus, God himself, is calling us to do the same thing. Jesus must be visible in our lives as well, church. People should see Jesus in each and every one of us. Jesus should be known in each and every one of us. There's no way, church, that you and I can hide Jesus from everybody else. If we're Christians, we're supposed to share Jesus with all. If we are believers, we are supposed to be the light of the world wherever we go. Our relationship with him must be evident. In fact, Paul writes about that in 2 Corinthians 4:10 when he says, we always carry, and I'm reading from the NIV, by the way, it says, in the New Living Translation, it says, we continue to share in the death of Jesus. But the NIV reads, we always carry around in our body the death of Jesus. Jesus is evident as we go about our daily lives here in Indian Town or wherever we go, church. Jesus must be evident in our hearts. And it says, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. That means that when people see you, they need to see Jesus. When people see us, they need to see the Lord Jesus. When people see you at work or at school, they've got to see a change in you. They've got to see something different in you. You know, I was talking about a testimony that I was going to share, and I'm going to share it right now. There's a young lady that's been coming to church. She's about 16 or 17. Her name is Monica, and she's been going to the youth services on Sunday mornings over there. And she had been dealing with a lot of stuff, family problems and things like that. And she's been coming here for like 6-7 months or so. And Mike and Holly have been doing a tremendous job along the other ladies and brothers who are helping out over there on Sunday mornings. And they've been witnessing to her, and she had been learning her verses every Sunday. And my wife was so impressed because she told me, "It's amazing, Pedro. Monica is the first one of all who will recite verses, and she'll learn them right away." And I was telling my wife, God is going to do something in her. God is going to use those verses and touch her heart. And about 2 weeks ago, church, she gave her life to Jesus. She got saved right in that place over there. And my wife and I think it was Holly and some of the other ladies were praying for her and thanking God that she had given her life to Christ. Well, last Sunday, when I came here to the sanctuary, and it was 10:30, fixing to start church, and I opened the door, and there she was on her way out to the ministry building. I ran into her with her little sister. Her little sister, I think it is. Is that her little sister? Now she's coming to church. Her little sister. She used to come by herself. Now her sister is coming with her. So when I opened the sanctuary, I went, whoa, I said, literally like that. Whoa, I said. Because she had a glow all over her face. She had a golden glow all over her face, church. I am not exaggerating. God is my witness. And I just stepped back and I said, whoa. And I said, hello, hi, she says. And then she went on to the ministry building. And it's like God was telling me, that's what happens. When Jesus comes into a life, that's how Jesus changes life. That's how Jesus changes hearts. And I had to tell her that, and I did. Last Sunday after the service, they had a little get-together, the young people, and we got invited to that. And I had to tell her, look, Monica, I need to tell you this. And she had the prettiest smile, church, with that same golden glow. And I said, that's the glow. That's it. Don't let the devil take that away from you, Monica. Don't let the world take that from you. Don't let anyone nor anything take the peace that the Lord has given you. Because Jesus said it, church. I'm not saying it. Jesus said it himself. I'll give you peace, not like the world gives it, but like I give it. And they cannot take it away. That's what happens, church, when we become, like Peter says, living stones. And this reminds us of that, of our relationship that we must have with Jesus Christ on a constant basis. Yeah, and then those 12 stones, and I'm wrapping this up, church, that memorial, that huge pile, that was going to remind future generations of the power of God, of how God is able to change lives. How God is able to do miracles. How God is able to save, church. Amen. That's the greatest miracle, by the way. Salvation. Salvation from eternity in hell. From our sins. That's the greatest miracle a human being can experience. But you know, that huge pile, church, that should be here in this place. Jesus himself. His presence. So when people drive and on the street, church, when people walk by right in front of this church, they'll be able to say, there is something going on in that place. There is something going on in that building. The presence of God is evident in that church. The word of God flows from the pulpit in that church. This has to be evident, church, not only in this place, but in our homes as well. Those 12 stones in our homes. Can people feel the presence of God when they come into your house? Do people feel something different when they come in to see you? Much different than, say, anybody else's house? They've got to feel something, church. They've got to sense that there's something different in our lives, in our homes, in our church. Let's bring it to the community as well. There's got to be change in our community. There has got to be change in our nation. There's still hope for our nation, by the way. There is still hope for the world, and that hope is Jesus. Amen. Let's all stand this morning and praise God and just pray for a few moments while Eddie plays a song of invitation. If anyone here has not received Jesus as his Lord and Savior, he is here in this place. Just like that memorial built by the Jordan River, and his presence was there, God is here this morning, and he's still saving. God is mighty to save. It says here that the nations would know that the right hand of God, or that the hand of God, it says, was powerful. When it talked about the hand of God, it usually meant his right hand. Back in the old days, the right hand meant authority and power and might. And you and I know that God's right hand, or who's sitting at his right hand, is Jesus himself. God's almighty power revealed in Jesus Christ himself. He's here this morning, and he's willing to save. He's willing to forgive. He's willing to receive. He's willing to welcome back once again. If anyone here in this place has not received Jesus as Lord and Savior, please open your hearts today. Ask for forgiveness. Ask the good Lord to forgive you of your sins and to come into your life, and ask him to be the Lord and Savior of your life. In your own words, God, forgive my sins. In Jesus' name, come into my heart and be the Lord and King of my life. If you need to rededicate your life to him, you can pray the same prayer, and he will answer that prayer. Just ask him to forgive you this morning. Ask him to make things right again. There is so much hurt in the world. There is so much confusion. There are so many families hurting these days. So many young people, so many children that need hope. Jesus is the answer. If there is a burden in your heart this morning, anything that's heavy on your heart, we're going to pray with you this morning. We're going to open up the altar just for a minute or so. And I'm going to ask my brother, Minister Lorenzo, to come up here and help me pray and intercede. If there's a need this morning, healing, restoration, renewal, hope, binding for the brokenhearted, answers. Whatever it is you're seeking this morning, it's all in Jesus. The altar is open.